Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Claudine Wilson of Tap the Joy Personal Coaching. Personal coaching is a new kind of personal development that allows you to create specific goals for yourself and then work through them with a coach. You don't need to go to a psychiatrist's office. It doesn't involve lengthy counseling sessions. It's very goal-oriented. And for baby boomers who are frequently moving from one stage of their lives to another, personal coaching may be just the ticket. Claudine Wilson from Tap the Joy Coaching joins us now. Good morning, Claudine. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Shayla. Thank you for having me.
How did you get interested in the field of personal coaching?
It's interesting. It all started with a trip to Borders Bookstore. I often found myself, when I've gone into the bookstores, in the business section. And I was rummaging through some of the books on entrepreneurship and so forth, and I came across this book called The Portable Coach by Thomas Leonard, who, as you probably know, is the founder of the coaching movement.
Yeah.
And I read his book, and it made great sense to me, really spoke to me. And I thought, God, I could make a living at this and do basically some of the things I've been doing all my life, like being a good listener and helping people.
So it's fascinating to me that you are in this period of transition in your own life, and you say, I can use this method for helping myself and helping others. What are the central tenets of personal coaching?
Some of the central beliefs around coaching is that one of the key things is that we are all very capable human beings. We are very resourceful. We have the ability to create our own solutions to problems. We have personal choices. And what coaching does is help tap into that, facilitates that, so you can get where you want to be faster and with less effort.
So it's different from psychotherapy in what ways?
One of the key ways is, while coaching may work on a particular issue with a client, say relationship harmony over money, we don't work with recurring issues, especially if there's it's a mental health issue. Coaching works on more of some of the day-to-day practical issues you're facing. Now, some of the day-to-day challenges that we have in terms of taking risks, moving through transition, dealing with stress. So there's some similarities there. The other distinction I would make is that coaching is very action-oriented. It's looking at where you are now and then where you want to be, whereas psychotherapy tends to look back into the past to figure out where you are now.
And depending on when you run out of money, you might not actually get the solution part of it.
Right.
So it's a shorter-term process, too,
yes,
because it's very goal-oriented. We're talking with Claudine Wilson from Tap the Joy Personal Coaching today about a relatively new transformation for people. It seems to me that there's a lot of people, especially people in their mid-40s and 50s, who are going through job changes, housing changes, the economy is changing, and they're raising teenagers at the same time, who could probably use this kind of help. But is it any different from, say, just calling a friend on the phone?
Well, you know, I used to initially make the distinction that it was like being a coach was like being a paid friend. But then I got to know better. One of the things that coaches are good at, is that they listen, with a lot of compassion and without judgment, like a friend. But the distinction here might be, whereas a friend will say, yeah, you know, that dress looks great on you, the coach is going to say, wow, why don't you tell me about what you're doing here? Because it doesn't sound like you. And so I think coaches, part of one of our principles is to be really truthful with our clients, and coming from a place of compassion. We're not talking brutal truths here, but truths that actually help them move forward.
Yeah, because friends do tend to soften the roughest edges when they think that it's going to hurt your feelings, and they know things about you in the past that are hot buttons that a coach would probably want to delve into rather than avoid.
Right. And another distinction would be that a coach is going to ask you to stretch yourself. If you tend to work from a place of where you're in your comfort zone, coach is going to want to get you out of your comfort zone, because actually when you get out of your comfort zone, that's when you have an opportunity for real growth and development.
So what have been some of the instances or some of the case studies that you've come, I guess it would be real people that you've worked with?
Well, one of the stories I like to share is a gentleman who has been a lawyer, who had been a lawyer for over 20 some odd years in his 40s. And he came to coaching and said flat out, "I hate being a lawyer. I can't stand being a lawyer." And so, you know, my question was, well, why did you become a lawyer? Well, the answer was, when I was in seventh grade, my parents told me that I was going to become a lawyer.
Ooh.
And stuff like this, I mean, still happens today, where parents are living vicariously through their kids, making choices for them and what they think they should do to be successful in life. Anyway, this guy decided to, okay, so he's going to be a lawyer. He's a lawyer. He absolutely hates it. And so my question was, what did you used to like to do before you before the choice was made for you about becoming a lawyer? And he said, well, you know, I used to really enjoy doing art, but I remember when my parents said I had to be a lawyer, they packed up all my art supplies and got rid of them.
Wow.
And so the challenge to him was, well, what about exploring this creative expression of yours that's basically been unexpressed for 20 some odd years? You know, what can you do about it? He decided, well, maybe I could take an art class. So he enrolls at a community college to take an art class and starts painting. And the instructor comes up, sees what he's done, and is absolutely blown away by what this guy has done.
Wow.
And he says to him, this is just amazing. You know, where have you been? You know, and so the guy decides that he really does really enjoy painting. He quits his law job. Now, he does have a financial reserve to make this happen. He quits his job in law, and he goes back to school for a master's in fine arts. Meantime, his artwork is showing up all over galleries in Chicago.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic.
That's one example. Another one would be, I have a client who, in the span of a year and a half, lost her life partner of 30-plus years, quit her job as a law professor, and moved halfway across the country to start a new life. And she came to me with the request of, I feel like I need to be dating more. And now this is somebody who, you know, for whom the internet is a really scary place.
Mm-hmm.
She basically needed some support and, you know, kind of gentle nudges to get her to look into that. And one of the questions I had for her is, well, let's look at this. You say you feel like you should be out there dating. Is that something you really want to do? She said, well, no, I really want to try dating. I said, okay. So we worked together, and she was actually able to submit something on Craigslist, and she got a bunch of hits, and she went out on a couple of dates, and the dates were okay, but she was still not feeling really comfortable. And I said to her, well, what if you look at fulfilling other areas of your life, and not just focus on dating? Because it seemed like she was still not quite over her loss in her personal life. But I still wanted her to kind of round things out in other areas. And she had an opportunity to create a new identity. So this is an example of somebody reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
So she's actually gotten very politically involved in the Obama campaign. She is a mentor through a community college for kids at risk of dropping out of high school.
Oh, cool.
It widened her circle of friends. She's gotten into gardening. And so these are all things that I don't know that she would have done them on her own. It might have taken her a longer bit of time to get there. But so she's tapping her joy in those areas right now. And I think I've told her that the best way to come across, to meet people is, especially in terms of dating and finding a suitable mate or partner, is to be doing something you really love, because that's a very attractive quality in any person.
Claudine Wilson is our guest today. We're talking about personal coaching and her business, Tap the Joy Coaching. So a lot of older adults grew up at a time when their parents might have decided what they'd done. They weren't really born with the expectation that you must be happy. Is that a Is that an egocentric need of baby boomers to reach joy, to feel like we deserve happiness and should have it in what we do and our home life and our careers?
Well, it's an interesting question. I do know that my mom, who's going to turn 70 this year, and now she is my mom, mind you, and she loves that I'm doing something that I love. And she has said to me, God, I wish I had a life coach when I was in my 40s to figure out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I think that the generation preceding the baby boomers grew up with the ethic that if you work really hard and you do it on your own, you're going to be successful. I think there were a lot of people who've been very successful and who are happy as a result of hard work they did. There are also a lot of people who continue to struggle through life and haven't been happy with the choices they made. Mm. I mean, I know of somebody who was a dentist for 40 years, and when he retired, his daughter said, wow, you're going to really miss that, aren't you? And he said, I hate dentistry.
Wow. Oh, tough.
So here's an opportunity, for people to have more joy in their life. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can have as human beings is to actually enjoy where we are in the moment in our lives. And I think coaching really helps facilitate that.
Especially because these days, it's not like you're doing the one thing for 40 years. You are asked to reinvent yourself over and then again and then again.
Right. That's one of the big things that I think helped push coaching forward was all the organizational changes happening in corporations. You're not with a company anymore, like you said, for 40 years. Or if you are with a company, perhaps you take on new roles. You're working with teams now. And so companies really were some of the first to tap into the coaching movement.
When a person finds you, they don't necessarily have to have office appointments, right?
No, the beauty of coaching is that about 80% of it is done by telephone.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that works really well for people in this day and age with all the running around that we do, adding one more appointment to rush to for our day. Plus, it's very green friendly.
Yes, exactly. Reducing your carbon footprint.
Exactly.
Yeah, and also just because you can do it anywhere, even if you're sitting at a doctor's office waiting for the appointment, you can still go ahead and have your own.
Right.
Who do you think would be a candidate for personal coaching?
Anybody who wants to make a positive and long-lasting change in their personal and professional life. Somebody who's willing to put the time and effort into it. It's not easy work, but I think it can be fun at times. People who are really committed to working with somebody who's going to tell them the truth, who's going to stretch them, who's going to challenge them.
The unexamined life is not worth living. You can find out more about personal coaching and Claudine's business, Tap Your Joy, at our website at kink.fm. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much, Sheila.